Since the April General Conference, Elder Royden G. Derrick has been called as the president of the Seattle Temple. Because that necessitates his absence from Salt Lake City, it has been felt advisable to release him as a member of the presidency of the First Quorum of 70. All who wish to join in extending a sincere vote of thanks to Elder Derrick for his outstanding service in this capacity and his tremendous service in the management of the genealogical program of the church may do so by the uplifted hand. It is proposed that Elder Marion D. Hanks be called as a member of the presidency of the First Quorum of the 70. All in favor, please manifest it. Any opposed? In view of the continual expansion of the work of the church, including the creation of area presidencies, it is deemed necessary to call three additional members of the First Quorum of the 70 who will serve on a non-lifetime basis, as was established last April in the call of other brethren to this quorum, and who will serve ordinarily for periods of 3 to 5 years. It is proposed, therefore, that we sustain the following as members of the First Quorum of the 70 in these circumstances. Elders John Sonnenberg of Chicago, who has served as a bishop, a stake president, and currently serving as a regional representative and chairman of the Chicago Temple Committee. Brother F. Arthur Kay of Seattle, who has served as a bishop, as a stake president, as a regional representative, and was recently released as president of the Seattle Temple. And Keith Wilson Wilcox of Ogden, who has served as a bishop, as a stake president, as a mission president, as a regional representative, and who currently is serving as president of the Ogden Temple. All in favor, please manifest it. Any who may feel otherwise may do so. We'll ask these brethren to make their way to the stand where some seats are reserved down here, wherever you see a vacancy. Sisters Barbara W. Winder and Ardith G. Kapp were sustained at the last General Conference as the new General Presidents of the Relief Society and Young Women, respectively. Since then, Sisters Joy Fruin Evans and Joanne Bushman Doxey have been called as the first and second counselors, respectively, to Sister Winder in the Relief Society presidency. Sisters Patricia Terry Holland and Maureen Johnson Turley have been called as the first and second counselors, respectively, to Sister Kapp in the Young Women presidency. Will those of you who can sustain these sisters in these positions please indicate in the usual manner? Any opposed? With the exceptions noted, there have been no changes in the general authorities or the general officers of the church since the last conference. It is proposed, therefore, that we sustain all of the general authorities and general officers of the church as at present constituted. Those in favor, please manifest it. Those opposed, by the same sign. It appears that the voting has been unanimous in favor of the general authorities and general officers of the church. My beloved brothers and sisters, may I say just a word as we begin the conference. My heart is touched this morning as I look over this vast congregation and then think of many times more of you who are assembled in stake centers scattered over the continent from sea to sea. These semiannual conferences of the church are unique and remarkable occasions when Latter-day Saints gather with listening ears and understanding hearts to counsel together and to hear those who have been called of God with a responsibility for the work in this dispensation. We are united with a common bond of faith and testimony. Jesus Christ stands at the head of the church of which we are members. The church bears his name. It is his church. We are honored to be a part of it. We have a prophet appointed by him, and we express gratitude for this, our great leader. Although he is old in years and his body weakened, we look to him with love and appreciation. Some few people, most of them not members of the church, are critical because the president of the church is an elderly man. I want to assure you that under the organization put in place by the Lord himself, there is no need to worry. The president has two counselors. So long as either of them is able to function, there will be an active first presidency with full powers of decision in all matters affecting the church. Associated with the presidency is the Council of the 12 Apostles. At times in our history, when there was no first presidency because of the death of the president, the Council of the 12 governed its affairs. As a matter of fact, these were some of the most difficult and demanding times in the history of the church, most notably when our people left Nauvoo, crossed Iowa, established winter quarters on the Missouri, and then made their historic odyssey to this valley in 1847. It was not until Brigham Young had been here and returned to winter quarters that he was sustained as the president of the church. The Lord will not allow his work to suffer. He will not allow it to be led astray. He has made that clear. There is much of flexibility and resiliency in this inspired organization. It can accommodate almost any imaginable set of circumstances. It is moving forward in a remarkable and wonderful way. The priesthood of God is upon the earth, and the strength of the church lies in the power that comes therefrom, and in the personal faith and testimony which reside in the hearts of its people. We welcome you to this great world conference. We pray that the Lord will inspire all who speak, all who pray, and in a particular way, all who participate as members in the many congregations who are joined together this day. May we all be edified together as we so participate. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The choir will now sing, "Come All Ye Saints Who Dwell on Earth." We shall then be pleased to hear from President Ezra Taft Benson, President of the Council of the 12 Apostles.